Dan Bernstein, Lawrence Holmes, middays 10 to 2 on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com in Odyssey Station.
Paul Charchian, Fantasy Football Hall of Famer.
That guy must really know what he's doing.
Director of Guillotine Leagues at FantasyLife.com. Your guide through the waiver wire.
Hurry, hurry, step right up and keep following the leader.
Church. With Church. Bernstein and Church. Holmes on 670 The Score.
Time for us to talk fantasy with our guy, Paul Charchian. Yes, it is that time already. You're saying, wait a sec, what happened to the summer? Well, it's still here, and Paul Charchian is on Twitter, at Paul Charchian, director of Guillotine Leagues at FantasyLife.com. Joins us on the Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circa Sports app today. Hello, friend. How are you?
It's been too long. I don't like being the harbinger of cold weather. That's not fun for anybody.
Well, not here in Vegas, Charge.
Oh, yeah, baby. What's it? Is it? It's got to be still like 100 today, right?
Yeah,
something
like
that.
Tomorrow, the high is only 95. To me, that's pretty much perfect.
Yeah, but more importantly, I don't know how this happened. I found your doppelganger.
Oh, Lord.
What?
There is a guy, one of the produce managers at my grocery store in Chicago. It bears I do a double take every time because of how much he looks like Charch. But it's like, if it's Charch, if he like didn't smile as much. So maybe this is some sort of parallel universe Charch who has ended up restocking the arugula. But
I think our guy Mike from the Progressive commercials is a better doppelganger for Charch.
No. Trust me. I'll try to snap a picture surreptitiously and
don't
show
be
it
creepy.
To you.
No. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to start one day. I'm going to hang out in the produce section at your grocery store. You'll think I'm the other guy, and then I'm going to pelt you with rotten vegetables.
I think
the other guy.
Well, that could be a contest. I think people would sign up to join you in doing that. but here we are. What do we know? What does the preseason and all of the roster machinations start to tell you about things, if anything?
Well, we've got a lot of fantasy drafts under our belts now. So what we've learned a lot is, number one, people are not taking quarterbacks and tight ends early this year. They feel like it's a deep season at those two positions, so they're really holding off on those players, feeling like they can wait to the middle of their draft and start picking up guys that are going to help them. And the tight end position's been a huge problem for years, but now we've got all these young, possibly very good tight ends that people are optimistic about. And then, you know, like LaPorta broke out last year. Trey McBride broke out last year. And people feel like Dalton Kincaid's sitting on a big season. People think Kyle Pitts is finally going to get his value unlocked with the addition of Kirk Cousins to the Falcons. So people are feeling a lot less pressure to go get quarterbacks and tight ends this year compared to last year and the year before that.
I want to tell you that I'm sorry about J.J. McCarthy. I did think of you immediately.
Thank you.
And then selfishly, I was like, well, what's Charge's opinion about the Bears? So what do you think about people who could possibly stand out? Receivers obviously come to mind for me. What are your thoughts?
My most drafted quarterback in fantasy is Caleb Williams, who I think is sitting on just a fantastic season. Now, you know, you've watched the preseason games like I have. It hasn't all been perfect. There have been some bad plays, but man, the highlight plays are just tantalizing, aren't they? You're seeing stuff that only elite quarterbacks can pull off, and it just feels like it's all coming together. And for fantasy, we really want the dual threat guys, and Caleb Williams has got that. Your audience, I think, knows it better than perhaps nationally, where I think more people feel like Jaden Daniels is going to run up and down the field, but Williams will as well. The 1-2 punch that's coming is unbelievable. And what quarterback's been dropped into a position for success like this? What rookie has where you've got potentially three great receivers and maybe, hopefully, a running game that's going to take a little pressure off of him, a non-awful offensive line? I love everything about Caleb Williams right now. So optimistic. He's my quarterback number 8, which is a show of major, major fantasy faith in Caleb Williams. And I'm fascinated to see how this works out. So very, very excited about this passing game.
Which one of the Bears receivers will go first?
In fantasy drafts, it's DJ Moore, more of a known quantity for sure. And then it's Rome Odunze. I've never tripped over that before. I don't know why I decided to do it now. You know, the Keenan Allen, there's a lot of people that are worried, like, is Keenan Allen on the last legs of a potentially Hall of Fame career? And then to see Rome playing well in the preseason has pushed his stock up a little bit. There are some people who feel like they're just not going to take any of them because they might cannibalize each other. There's some concern about that. Same thing in Houston, where they've got three great receivers. And you're like, well, I don't want to guess which game might be a DJ Moore game, which game, you know, might be a Rome game. So there are people that are holding off on those. I'm not. I'm still sticking with DJ Moore, who I've got on a bunch of my rosters.
After Caleb Williams, who is your next highest ranked rookie quarterback?
Well, right behind him is Jaden Daniels, who looks like he could be, you know, also very good, completing long passes. You know, now they've got a functional offense going in there. We think Cliff Kingsbury, when he onboarded then rookie Kyler Murray, he got Kyler Murray to finish his fantasy quarterback 9 with 20 passing touchdowns, 500 rushing yards, 5 rushing touchdowns. And those all feel like minimums for Jaden Daniels if he can play the full season. There's a lot of talk about Jaden maybe being so slight of build that he's not going to withstand up to the punishment of the position. But you know what? Even if he's going to miss a couple of games, the upside that he could bring with the rushing, you know, I would not be surprised if he ends up averaging 40-ish rushing yards a game. I mean, like light running back rushing numbers. So really excited about what he can do and just feel like the marriage in Washington with Cliff Kingsbury is a really positive one for him.
Charge, does Patrick Mahomes have a new project?
Well, Xavier Daniels is who I believe you refer, or Xavier Worthy rather, who is really, really interesting. So the two big downfield plays last week, Lawrence, skyrocketing his draft position by 2 full rounds. He was going off the board round 7-ish in most fantasy drafts. Has the weekend he had last weekend. Now he's going round 5. But here's the thing that worries me, and I don't want to be overly contrarian on this, but you know, you remember he set the all-time combine 40 record. Track stars turned NFL players. Man, most of them do not pan out. You know, John Ross, Marquise Goodwin, J.J. Nelson, Darius Haywood bust. I mean, if you go back to Willie Gault, you guys remember Willie Gault, right?
Ronaldo Nehemiah.
You've
got even back to Bullet Bob Hayes, right?
Yes. I mean, you know, ultimately, most of the track guys do not pan out. Now, that's not to say that, you know, there are going to be some times where Xavier Worthy gets past defenses and, you know, Mahomes is throwing long bombs and he's going to have some highlight plays that are going to look really tantalizing. But the games in which they do not connect on those deep passes worry me, because I don't feel like Worthy is a complete receiver yet. And hopefully it'll happen. I don't know that it's going to happen in his rookie year. And at this point, I'm still more interested in even Rashee Rice. For all the, you know, negativity surrounding him and the bad decisions and possible suspension, I'd still rather have him.
Charge, how many times did Darius Hayward Bay break your heart for you to call him that?
It didn't take long, right? Because it was Darius Haywood bust. I just, you know, I remember being optimistic about him, but he joined the Raiders at a time when all the Raiders ever cared about was drafting guys who could run straight and run fast, and they could never deliver the goods back then. Yeah.
Well, you certainly don't say it with the relish that you always said, Sad Trombonski, which I think was probably your favorite one. And as we're talking really about former Bears quarterbacks as well, how do you assess the fantasy ramifications of the quarterback situation in Pittsburgh?
So it looks like it's going to be Russell Wilson as the starter. Now, fantasy fans don't want it to be Russell Wilson. They want it to be Justin Fields because the rushing upside. But here's the thing, very quietly last year, here's Russell Wilson in Denver in a completely diseased situation. You'll remember they were trying to basically extort him out of his own contract. You know, we're going to bench you unless you take a pay cut and all that stuff. And they ultimately benched him the final 2 games of the year. But Russell Wilson down the stretch was good. He was beating good teams like Kansas City. And from week 8 to week 16, when he got benched, Russell threw multiple touchdowns or scored multiple touchdowns in every game but one. He finished as quarterback 17 in every one of those weeks. He was actually pretty darn good. And for the Steelers, we haven't seen just like competent NFL average level quarterbacking since Ben Roethlisberger. I'm excited to see a Steelers offense where somebody can throw a pass without a hop and a skip in it. It's going to be, I am Team Russ for this one.
Charge, you sent us a comment here that speaks to the very pit of our producer Adam Studzinski's heart, because he's in five fantasy leagues.
Yes.
At least he was last year. And is that too many? Should Studs think this through a little bit?
So this is a quality over quantity situation. There are so many bad, boring fantasy leagues. Let the bad, boring owners play with each other. Quit those leagues and go find new ones. But we get complacent in our boring, crappy leagues where people just like robotically just like set a lineup. They make a periodic waiver claim. And the other owners don't do anything wrong, but they're not elevating those leagues. And you should leave. Your standard should be higher. Instead, find vibrant, thrilling fantasy leagues filled with smack talk and rivalries and trade offers and loser penalties and maybe even periodic tasteful nudity. Let's find better leagues. It's not about how many leagues you're in. It's about being in great leagues. Quit the leagues that aren't awesome.
I understand that Studs has a rebuttal. Adam Studzinski.
Okay, so Charge, here's the deal. I actually used to be in more leagues, and because of what you're saying, I cut down. And I've locked myself at five. I don't go over. I've rejected so many leagues in the last 5 years because my friends are always asking me, do you want to join this league? Do you want to join this one? I'm like, no, I'm good. So I have a league that's a keeper dynasty league. I have one with my high school friends. That's my oldest league.
Yeah.
I have my family league. I have one league that's a complete joke that requires almost no effort. And I have another league with like some extended friends that is my only full PPR league. So that's why I joined that one. So I have a diverse five league lineup that I work with.
Well, you're really hitting at the heart of what makes fantasy leagues great, why people don't quit, is it's how you stay in touch with your friends and family. It's connection points. We play less about winning and more about staying in touch with the people we love. And if all those people are great and they're active and these are fun leagues and these are genuinely positive to your life, great. If not, hunt that family league. I mean, if it's your weird
oh my
Gary,
God.
Man, you know,
I'm getting
out.
Close. I'm getting close because I'm actually the commissioner. So if I just don't send out an email this year, it's dead.
Perfect. Yeah, I mean, look,
it's a bad league.
That means it's a bad league. You know, five leagues is fine. I'm in. I'm not even gonna tell you guys how many leagues I'm in. It's honestly, it's embarrassing. But just make them great leagues. That's all that matters. And get out of the bad ones. Don't, just because you joined this league because the accounting department three jobs ago started a league, doesn't mean you need to stay in touch with those people. If the league sucks, get out. And not enough people do that.
I feel like we just had a counseling / fantasy football segment.
Yeah,
Charge.
I like that. When it's about community and it's about your own level of happiness, don't forget that ostensibly the whole point of this is for you to be entertained and happy.
Yes, yes. And, you know, does winning make me happy? Yes, I have more fun if I win. And so we do care about winning. But at the end of the day, it's all about those other things that make a league great, the rivalries and the trade offers and everything else. That's what we care about.
Look, Charge, Layla started this segment talking about J.J. McCarthy, but I would like to know how do you feel about the Vikings as it stands right now and the NFC North?
Well, first, how on point for the Vikings is this? No first-round quarterback in the Super Bowl era has ever missed the entire season until the Vikings drafted J.J. McCarthy. And might I add, he had looked really good. I mean, the training camp looked really good. The preseason game that he played, he was slinging. It looked so promising, so on point for Minnesota football to lose him for the full season. Sam Darnold obviously is going to be the starter, and there it's a long runway. He's going to have to be incredibly bad, which is possible, before they're going to move on from him. In fairness to Darnold, he's had some of the worst coaching and worst players around him that any first rounder has ever had to deal with. I went back and looked at Sam Darnold's head coaches and offensive coordinators when he's been a starting quarterback. So basically every year prior to last year when he was in San Francisco, all of them but one are totally out of the league. They're not even coaching anymore. That's how bad the coaching was for Sam Darnold. The Vikings figure to finish solidly in last place. The NFC North probably sends three teams to the playoffs, including your team. Incredibly excited for what your offense in particular could do. Defense already made huge strides at the end of last season, and I think that continues here. But this offense is just, it's ready to take off. Lions are the best team in the division. I've got them going to the Super Bowl. I think you're going to battle the Packers gallantly to knock that team out of second place in the division, and I'm looking forward to that as a Viking fan.
Wait, who's your AFC team then?
Houston Texans are going to win the AFC.
What?
Okay.
Yep, CJ Stroud's going to win MVP. That is an awesome team. That they've built a fantastic roster. I couldn't be more excited for them. I'm a little bit nervous about the running back position. Joe Mixon is cooked. But other than that, it was a defense that got tons better. They had Defensive Rookie of the Year in Will Anderson last year. Add in Stephon Diggs to the wide receiver group that was already very good with Tank Dell and Nico Collins. Oh, man, that is a thrilling Houston team that I think is ready to trade punches with Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs.
Let's go. Charge, thanks so much. We appreciate it.
So much fun talking to you all again. I'm excited for our weekly chat. All right. Awesome.
Same, my man.
Thanks, friends. We'll talk next Thursday.
Indeed. That is Paul Charchian, and we are coming to you live from the Galaxy Ballroom at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas.
Did you see what was
Vegas.
Around the corner here?
Around the corner? I did. No.
Not our buddy Cody Decker.
No, I saw
dinosaur?
Cody Decker.
But if you go around the corner, there's a bar.
What?
It's 9:40 in the morning.
This is Las Vegas, sir. There right, is a well, fully
enjoy.
Functional bar right around there.
We are
right by the sports animal.
We are recording the Organizations Win Championships podcast after this show, so I'll be holding off on that.
Take a left at the sports animal, then you'll take a right at the other sports animal. Then you'll make a U-turn at the sports dinosaur.
I did see back there is Texas Sports Unfiltered.
Yes.
I was wondering what that was. I saw that dude walk in with a state of Texas patch on it.
And actually,
the hat.
And right next to it is Texas Sports Filtered. So I think it's just if people want their sports slightly filtered, they can't handle it unfiltered.
We just call that the UT press conference.
They just have it. They have it filtered. So I think they're rivals somewhere in Texas. The filtered sports people and unfiltered sports people.
Texas Sports without fluoride. Oh, man.
What do you have for high noon?
Oh, okay. Do we have something for high noon?
Oh, well, then I'll...
Wait, what are you all
what do you
crazy
got?
Okay. Like about over there?
Ray and I, something happened at the airport.
Okay.
That ended up providing apt closure to an ongoing story.
Wow.
Of
okay.
This show.
That's
okay.
All of high noon then.
Tales
that doesn't
from
have
Vegas, because then I hung out with Ray and Dan afterward, and they didn't tell me any of this. So right. I've got a bone to pick with them.
Tales from Vegas coming up next on High Noon.
Dan Bernstein, Lawrence Holmes, middays 10 to 2 on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com in Odyssey Station.
Paul Charchian, Fantasy Football Hall of Famer.
That guy must really know what he's doing.
Director of Guillotine Leagues at FantasyLife.com. Your guide through the waiver wire.
Hurry, hurry, step right up and keep following the leader.
Charge. With Charge. Bernstein and Charge. Holmes on 670 The Score.
Time for us to talk fantasy with our guy, Paul Charchian. Yes, it is that time already. You're saying, wait a sec, what happened to the summer? Well, it's still here, and Paul Charchian is on Twitter at Paul Charchian, director of Guillotine Leagues at FantasyLife.com. Joins us on the Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circa Sports app today. Hello, friend. How are you?
It's been too long. I don't like being the harbinger of cold weather. That's not fun for anybody.
Well, not here in Vegas, Charge.
Oh, yeah, baby. What's it? Is it? It's got to be still like 100 today, right?
Yeah,
something
like
that.
Tomorrow, the high is only 95. To me, that's pretty much perfect.
Yeah, but more importantly, I don't know how this happened. I found your doppelganger.
Oh, Lord.
What?
There is a guy, one of the produce managers at my grocery store in Chicago, it bears a like a, I do a double take every time because of how much he looks like Church. But it's like if it's Church if he like didn't smile as much. So maybe this is some sort of parallel universe Church who has ended up restocking the arugula. But
I think our guy Mike from the Progressive commercials is a better doppelganger for Church.
No. Trust me. I'll try to snap a picture surreptitiously and
don't
show
be
it
creepy.
To you.
No. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to start one day. I'm going to hang out in the produce section at your grocery store. You'll think I'm the other guy, and then I'm going to pelt you with rotten vegetables.
I think
the other guy.
Well, that could be a contest. I think people would sign up to join you in doing that. but here we are. What do we know? What does the preseason and all of the roster machinations start to tell you about things, if anything?
Well, we've got a lot of fantasy drafts under our belts now. So what we've learned a lot is, number one, people are not taking quarterbacks and tight ends early this year. They feel like it's a deep season at those two positions, so they're really holding off on those players, feeling like they can wait to the middle of their draft and start picking up guys that are going to help them. And the tight end position has been a huge problem for years, but now we've got all these young, possibly very good tight ends that people are optimistic about. And then, you know, like LaPorta broke out last year. Trey McBride broke out last year. And people feel like Dalton Kincaid's sitting on a big season. People think Kyle Pitts is finally going to get his value unlocked with the addition of Kirk Cousins to the Falcons. So people are feeling a lot less pressure to go get quarterbacks and tight ends this year compared to last year and the year before that.
I want to tell you that I'm sorry about J.J. McCarthy. I did think of you immediately.
Thank you.
And then selfishly, I was like, well, what's Charge's opinion about the Bears? So what do you think about people who could possibly stand out? Receivers obviously come to mind for me. What are your thoughts?
My most drafted quarterback in fantasy is Caleb Williams, who I think is sitting on just a fantastic season. Now, you know, you've watched the preseason games like I have. It hasn't all been perfect. There have been some bad plays, but man, the highlight plays are just tantalizing, aren't they? You're seeing stuff that only elite quarterbacks can pull off, and it just feels like it's all coming together. And for fantasy, we really want the dual threat guys, and Caleb Williams has got that. Your audience, I think, knows it better than perhaps nationally, where I think more people feel like Jaden Daniels is going to run up and down the field, but Williams will as well. The 1-2 punch that's coming is unbelievable. And what quarterback's been dropped into a position for success like this? What rookie has where you've got potentially three great receivers and maybe, hopefully, a running game that's going to take a little pressure off of him, a non-awful offensive line? I love everything about Caleb Williams right now. So optimistic. He's my quarterback number 8, which is a show of major, major fantasy faith in Caleb Williams, and I'm fascinated to see how this works out. So very, very excited about this passing game.
Which one of the Bears receivers will go first?
In fantasy drafts, it's DJ Moore, more of a known quantity for sure. And then it's Adunze. Excuse me. I've never tripped over that before. I don't know why I decided to do it now. You know, the Keenan Allen, there's a lot of people that are worried, like, is Keenan Allen on the last legs of a potentially Hall of Fame career? And then to see Rome playing well in the preseason has pushed his stock up a little bit. There are some people who feel like they're just not going to take any of them because they might cannibalize each other. There's some concern about that. Same thing in Houston, where they've got three great receivers. And you're like, well, I don't want to guess which game might be a DJ Moore game, which game, you know, might be a Rome game. So there are people that are holding off on those. I'm not. I'm still sticking with DJ Moore, who I've got on a bunch of my rosters.
After Caleb Williams, who is your next highest ranked rookie quarterback?
Well, right behind him is Jaden Daniels, who looks like he could be, you know, also very good, completing long passes. You know, now they've got a functional offense going in there. We think Cliff Kingsbury, when he onboarded then rookie Kyler Murray. He got Kyler Murray to finish his fantasy quarterback 9 with 20 passing touchdowns, 500 rushing yards, 5 rushing touchdowns. And those all feel like minimums for Jaden Daniels if he can play the full season. There's a lot of talk about Jaden maybe being so slight of build that he's not going to withstand up to the punishment of the position. But you know what? Even if he's going to miss a couple of games, the upside that he could bring with the rushing, you know, I would not be surprised if he ends up averaging 40-ish rushing yards a game. I mean, like light running back rushing numbers. So really excited about what he can do and just feel like the marriage in Washington with Cliff Kingsbury is a really positive one for him.
Charge, does Patrick Mahomes have a new project?
Well, Xavier Daniels is who I believe you refer, or Xavier Worthy, rather, who is really, really interesting. So the two big downfield plays last week, Lawrence, skyrocketing his draft position by two full rounds. He was going off the board round 7-ish in most fantasy drafts, has the weekend he had last weekend. Now he's going round 5. But here's the thing that worries me, and I don't want to be overly contrarian on this, but you know, you remember he set the all-time combine 40 record. Track stars turned NFL players, man, most of them do not pan out. You know, John Ross, Marquise Goodwin, J.J. Nelson, Darius Haywood bust. I mean, if you go back to Willie Gault, you guys remember Willie Gault, right?
Ronaldo Nehemiah. Even back to Bullet Bob Hayes, right?
Yes. I mean, you know, it, ultimately, most of the track guys do not pan out. Now, that's not to say that, you know, there are going to be some times where Xavier Worthy gets past defenses and, you know, Mahomes is throwing long bombs and he's going to have some highlight plays that are going to look really tantalizing. But the games in which they do not connect on those deep passes worry me because I don't feel like Worthy is a complete receiver yet. And hopefully it'll happen. I don't know that it's going to happen in his rookie year. And at this point, I'm still more interested in even Rashee Rice for all the, you know, negativity surrounding him and the bad decisions and possible suspension. I'd still rather have him.
Charge, how many times did Darius Haywood Bay break your heart for you to call him that?
It didn't take long, right? Because it was a Darius Haywood bust. I just, you know, I remember being optimistic about him, but he joined the Raiders at a time when all the Raiders ever cared about was drafting guys who could run straight and run fast, and they could never deliver the goods back then, yeah.
Well, you certainly don't say it with the relish that you always said, sad Trombonski, which I think was probably your favorite one. And as we're talking really about former Bears quarterbacks as well, how do you assess the fantasy ramifications of the quarterback situation in Pittsburgh?
So it looks like it's going to be Russell Wilson as the starter. Now, fantasy fans don't want it to be Russell Wilson. They want it to be they want it to be Justin Fields because the rushing upside. But here's the thing, very quietly last year, here's Russell Wilson in Denver in a completely diseased situation. You'll remember they were trying to basically extort him out of his own contract. You know, we're going to bench you unless you take a pay cut and all that stuff. And they ultimately benched him the final two games of the year. But Russell Wilson down the stretch was good. He was beating good teams like Kansas City. And from week 8 to week 16, when he got benched, Russell threw multiple touchdowns or scored multiple touchdowns in every game but one. He finished as quarterback 17 in every one of those weeks. He was actually pretty darn good. And for the Steelers, we haven't seen just like competent NFL average level quarterbacking since Ben Roethlisberger. I'm excited to see a Steelers offense where somebody can throw a pass without a hop and a skip in it. It's going to be, I am Team Russ for this one.
Charge, you sent us a comment here that speaks to the very pit of our producer Adam Studzinski's heart. Because he's in 5 fantasy leagues.
Yes.
At least he was last year. And is that too many? Should Studs think this through a little bit?
So this is a quality over quantity situation. There are so many bad, boring fantasy leagues. Let the bad, boring owners play with each other. Quit those leagues and go find new ones. What we get complacent in our boring, crappy leagues where people just like robotically just like set a lineup, they make a periodic waiver claim, and the other owners don't do anything wrong, but they're not elevating those leagues, and you should leave. Your standard should be higher. Instead, find vibrant, thrilling fantasy leagues filled with smack talk and rivalries and trade offers and loser penalties and maybe even periodic tasteful nudity. Let's find better leagues. It's not about how many leagues you're in. It's about being in great leagues. Quit the leagues that aren't awesome.
I understand that Studs has a rebuttal. Adam Studzinski.
Okay, so Charge, here's the deal. This I actually used to be in more leagues, and because of what you're saying, I cut down. And I've locked myself at 5. I don't go over. I've rejected so many leagues in the last 5 years because my friends are always asking me, do you want to join this league? Do you want to join this one? I'm like, no, I'm good. So I have a league that's a keeper dynasty league. I have one with my high school friends. That's my oldest league.
Yeah.
I have my family league. I have one league that's a complete joke that requires almost no effort. And I have another league with like some extended friends that is my only full PPR league. So that's why I joined that one. So I have a diverse 5 league lineup that I work with.
Well, you're really hitting at the heart of what makes fantasy leagues great, why people don't quit, is it's how you stay in touch with your friends and family. It's connection points. We play less about winning and more about staying in touch with the people we love. And if all those people are great and they're active and these are fun leagues and these are genuinely positive to your life, great. If not, hunt that family league. I mean, if it's your weirdo,
oh my God,
you know,
I'm getting close because I'm actually the commissioner. So if I just don't send out an email this year, it's dead.
Perfect. Yeah,
it's a bad league.
That means it's a bad league. You know, 5 leagues is fine. I'm not even going to tell you guys how many leagues I'm in. It's honestly, it's embarrassing. But just make them great leagues. That's all that matters. And get out of the bad ones. Don't. Just because you joined this league because the accounting department 3 jobs ago started a league doesn't mean you need to stay in touch with those people. If the league sucks, get out. And not enough people do that.
I feel like we just had a counseling / fantasy football segment.
Yeah,
I
like that. When it's about community and it's about your own level of happiness, don't forget that ostensibly the whole point of this is for you to be entertained and happy.
Yes. Yes. And, you know, does winning make me happy? Yes. I have more fun if I win. And so we do care about winning. But at the end of the day, it's all about those other things that make a league great, the rivalries and the trade offers and everything else. That's what we care about.
Look, Charge, Layla started this segment talking about J.J. McCarthy, but I would like to know how do you feel about the Vikings as it stands right now and the NFC North?
Well, first, how on point for the Vikings is this? No first-round quarterback in the Super Bowl era has ever missed the entire season until the Vikings drafted J.J. McCarthy. And might I add, he had looked really good. I mean, the training camp looked really good. The preseason game that he played, he was slinging. It looked so promising, so on point for Minnesota football to lose him for the full season. Sam Darnold obviously is going to be the starter, and there it's a long runway. He's going to have to be incredibly bad, which is possible, before they're going to move on from him. In fairness to Darnold, he's had some of the worst coaching and worst players around him that any first rounder has ever had to deal with. I went back and looked at Sam Darnold's head coaches and offensive coordinators when he's been a starting quarterback. So basically every year prior to last year when he was in San Francisco. All of them but one are totally out of the league. They're not even coaching anymore. That's how bad the coaching was for Sam Darnold. The Vikings figure to finish solidly in last place. The NFC North probably sends 3 teams to the playoffs, including your team. Incredibly excited for what your offense in particular could do. Defense already made huge strides at the end of last season, and I think that continues here. But this offense is just, it's ready to take off. Lions are the best team in the division. I've got them going to the Super Bowl. I think you're going to battle the Packers gallantly to knock that team out of second place in the division, and I'm looking forward to that as a Viking fan.
Wait, who's your AFC team then?
Houston Texans are going to win the AFC.
What?
Okay.
Yep, CJ Stroud's going to win MVP. That is an awesome team. That they've built a fantastic roster. I couldn't be more excited for them. I'm a little bit nervous about the running back position. Joe Mixon is cooked. But other than that, it was a defense that got tons better. They had defensive rookie of the year in Will Anderson last year. Add in Stephon Diggs to the wide receiver group that was already very good with Tank Dell and Nico Collins. Oh, man, that is a thrilling Houston team that I think is ready to trade punches with Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs.
Let's go. Charge, thanks so much. We appreciate it.
So much fun talking to you all again. I'm excited
Same.
For our weekly chat. All right. Awesome.
Same, my man.
Thanks, friends. We'll talk next Thursday.
Indeed.
He brings it.
That is Paul Charchian, and we are coming to you live from the Galaxy Ballroom at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas.
Did you see what was around the corner here?
Around the corner? I did. No.
Not our buddy Cody Decker.
No, I saw Cody Decker.
But if you go around the corner, there's a bar.
What?
It's 9:40 in the morning.
This is Las Vegas, sir. There is a fully functional bar right around there.
We are
right by the sports animal.
We are recording the Organizations Win Championships podcast after this show, so I'll be holding off on that.
Take a left at the sports animal, then you'll take a right at the other sports animal. Then you'll make a U-turn at the sports dinosaur.
I did see back there, there is Texas Sports Unfiltered.
Yes.
I was wondering what that was. I saw that dude walk in with a state of Texas patch
and
a hat.
And right next to it is Texas Sports Filtered. So I think it's just if people want their sports slightly filtered, they can't handle it unfiltered.
We just call that the UT press conference.
They just have it. They have it filtered. So I think they're rivals somewhere in Texas. The filtered sports people and unfiltered sports people.
Texas Sports without fluoride. Oh, man.
What do you have for high noon?
Oh, okay. Do we have something for high noon?
Oh, well, then I'll...
Wait, what are you all over there?
Ray and I, something happened at the airport.
Okay.
That ended up providing apt closure to an ongoing story.
Wow.
Okay. This show.
That's all of high noon then.
Tales from Vegas, because then I hung out with Ray and Dan afterward, and they didn't tell me any of this. So I've got a bone to pick with them.
Tales from Vegas coming up next on High Noon.